Well, today we continue to reflect on the various Bible passages that we are singing, that are sung to us through the Christmas Messiah for Young Voices, which is the presentation that we'll be making at the Christmas Eve program at the LMC on December 24th. So this Christmas Messiah for Young Voices has been the sort of the framework or the basis for this sermon series that we're currently doing through the season of Advent. So far, we've looked at two passages from Isaiah chapter 40, and now we turn back and read a passage from Isaiah chapter 9. So, reading verses 1 to 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we love hearing your word. And now we open ourselves up before the living word, and we ask that you would penetrate our hearts with it, that you would teach us, that you would convict us, that you would encourage us and give us hope. Thank you for this current series that we are doing based on the Christmas Messiah for Young Voices. Lord, we love to hear your word. We also love to sing it. Please use these songs, these scriptures that we sing through this Messiah piece to bless us and bless the community. So we commit this time of study to you, in Jesus' name, amen. It's actually quite fitting that little Jordan, right? Little Jordan's crying right now because I've been thinking about babies a lot lately. So that's actually quite fitting. In fact, over the last week or two, we've been looking at home movies. Yeah, it's been really fun. Watching our kids, our little babies, and our toddlers as they play and as they grow up, it's been quite touching. I've forgotten how much I love those little guys, those little ones, and you know, it does make me feel a little old, I confess, but also even more, I've experienced the joy and gratitude for the gift of children. And as we just, you know, enjoy our kids, as we maybe even hear a baby cry or hold one or watch a toddler play, seeing the young Boawadi girls dancing this morning to the music, whatever scene you have in your mind regarding children, we all admit we love them. They touch our hearts and give us hope. And I think actually that in some ways God uses children to bless us, right, over and over again. I know that there's many challenges in raising kids too. Ask any parent present and they will say that. But even more, they give us hope. They give us joy and delight. And I think he loves children. Jesus loves children. And God uses children to give us hope. And because he knows that hope is the very thing that we so desperately need in life. And as we go into our text, And as we think about the situation that the people of Judah were experiencing at this time in their history, oh, did they need hope. In Isaiah chapter 40, over the last 2 weeks, we've learned that Babylon is coming, that huge empire that was forcing its way all over the world, just conquering nations all around them. Babylon was coming, and the people of Judah were terrified. And in Isaiah chapter 9, the context is actually the coming of Assyria, the empire before Babylon that was taking over the world. Syria threatened to conquer Judah, and also while they were doing that, some of Judah's neighboring countries, Israel and Aram, were also threatening to attack. And so we can only imagine the anxiety that the people of Judah were feeling at this time in their history, feeling a lot of fear, also hopelessness, as they saw their future sort of unravel around them. And it's in the middle of this hopelessness that God sends the prophet Isaiah to encourage Judah, and especially encourage King Ahaz, their king at the time. Isaiah prophesies that God will deliver Judah, and then he gives King Ahaz this word of confirmation. He says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, when we hear that, if you're familiar at all with some of the messianic promises of Scripture, you hear the word Emmanuel and you immediately think the coming of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good. That's right. But also, there's another story going on here. If you read through Isaiah's prophecy, shortly after this time, Isaiah himself, he and his wife give birth to a child. And before this child is grown up, Assyria will conquer Israel. So there's actually two stories going on here, two stories about children. And God uses both stories to confirm his word to the people. So, first story, Isaiah's son is born. Before he grows up, Israel is conquered by Assyria. The second story, and the more important one for us, Jesus Christ is born, the Emmanuel, the God with us child. And that's the one that we want to focus on today. With the coming of Emmanuel, God sends the child to give us light. And this is surely what Judah needed at this time in their history, for they were in the dark. We think of the threats of Assyria, the dark shadow of this huge empire falling upon them. And as Isaiah writes in this prophecy that we just read, the yoke that burdens them, the rod of their oppressor. This was a huge point of anxiety for Judah, to think about being conquered and being enslaved by a foreign nation. But that wasn't the only way that Judah was enslaved at this time in their history. Judah also carried this burden, this dark shadow of their own sin upon them. As we think about that, we think about the larger story of Israel, Israel and Judah. Judah was God's child. He saved his people from Egypt, and he led them to the promised land. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll remember the big story of Israel and Judah. And now Isaiah reports in Isaiah chapter 8, that they're consulting mediums and spiritists. Can you see the tragedy and the irony here? Over and over again, the prophets remind the people that God has saved them. God has rescued them from slavery in Egypt, brought them into the promised land. And now, who are the people consulting in their time of anxiety? They're looking to demons, like to spiritists and mediums for help, instead of the Holy One of Israel. This greatly troubled Isaiah as the prophet of the time. And he goes on to write about their life without God as they consult these demons for help. He says this, "Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they're famished, they'll become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness. Judah was like Tolkien's fictional world of Middle-earth. Any Tolkien fans out there? I saw a nod. There's a threat rising in the east as Dark Lord Sauron attempts to find the One Ring of Power. If that ring, forged long ago in the fires of Mount Doom, returns to Sauron, all will be lost and evil will rule the world. And again in Tolkien's story, that threat is depicted as a creeping shadow. As Sauron's power increases, darkness begins to fall over one section of Middle-earth after the next. And as the hobbits and other creatures repeatedly say to one another, if Sauron finds the ring, then the entire world will fall into the shadow. It helps us understand the idea that the people of Judah were in the dark. There is this dark shadow kind of coming upon the land. I think it also helps us understand kind of where we're at in our Western world. For many ways, we North Americans are also groping in the dark, just like the people of Judah. The people of Judah had God's law. It was right there for them to read and to obey. Isaiah the prophet reminding them about who God is and what he requires and how much he loves them. Very similarly, we have God's enduring word at our fingertips. We know the truth of the gospel, but we prefer instead to look to other people and things for help and hope, to trust in ourselves, assuming that some sort of inner light inside will guide our way and save the day. But as we look around at our world, I think we can all agree that it's not working. You know, we North Americans are among the most affluent people in the world. We live in the freest society on earth, and most of us are very comfortable in terms of income and lifestyle. And yet in some ways, just like the people of Judah, we're a mess, aren't we? Depressed and anxious, addicted and dysfunctional, enslaved by our work and consumerism, looking to countless other people and things for help, not often to God's word. And then we look beyond ourselves at the world, and we see and hear about wars and rumors of wars. We hear the plight of countless refugees, terrorism, floods, and earthquakes. And we have to admit, in many respects, we also live in the dark. I wonder how you are living in the dark today. You know, we all have dark places in our lives, places of sin and brokenness, places of hurt, burden, or hopelessness. I wonder how you are living in the dark today. However you are groping about in the dark, I have good news for you. God sends the child to give us light. And we've already talked about the blessing of children, the hope and joy and delight they bring us. They just shine a light in our lives. None more than this child, the one who was prophesied by Isaiah, the Emmanuel, the one whose birth we celebrate each Christmas season. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. When we read that part of the passage, the sermon text, oh, our hearts leap with joy. Because in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the oppression, the burden of sin, a child is born, the one who will bring light into the world. First to the people of Judah, and now to us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we read, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God. God sends the child to give us light. And in John chapter 9, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And then later, playing on this theme, John writes this in his first letter. He says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." God sends the child to give us light. Jesus is the light of the world. So let us walk in the light as he is in the light. Let us not be like the people of Judah who preferred to remain in the dark, trusting in mediums and spiritists, trusting in themselves for salvation. Let us not be like the majority of North Americans who prefer to live in their own light, which is really no light at all. Let us walk in the light of Christ. That is, let us walk to and with Jesus. The Advent candles are being lit. We are preparing, setting the stage now for the coming of the Savior all over again, his first and second coming. Let us walk to the manger this Christmas season. Let us, with the shepherds and the magi, bow down before the Christ child. And then let us continue walking with Jesus as he grows up, as we follow him, his story and teaching through the gospel, New Testament Gospels. And let us continue to follow Jesus in the new year. Let us remain humble and open before him. Let us worship him. Let us sit at his feet as we read his word. Let us incline our hearts toward Jesus and follow his ways. God sends the child to give us light. So why would we remain in the dark? Come into the light of the Lord and stay in the light. And then let us shine the light of Christ to others. It's only as we walk in the light as he is in the light that we will experience the salvation of the Lord. As we walk into the light of Christ, we will truly experience him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, there is no need to remain in the dark anymore. Let us come into the light of Christ. And all God's people say, let us pray. Lord, it is good to sit at your feet, to hear your word, to experience the light of Christ today. Forgive us for groping in the dark, depending on ourselves and others for help and hope, when really, Lord, our only hope is in you. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the light of the world, to shine light in our darkness. Lord, now we respond to this good news by walking in the light as he is in the light. So help us to do that now, through the Advent and Christmas seasons, and forevermore. Amen.